And recording. Taiwan Special, episode one for the week. I was just having an interesting conversation with a friend from Pakistan about the possibility of going to Pakistan and exploring and possibly writing some books worth translating into Urdu, which, if you don't know about Urdu, that's the language they speak in Pakistan. Excuse me. That was strange. All right. Okay. This week, North Korea and China and Vietnam came up, and Rush Limbaugh had some comments, and I have some comments about Rush Limbaugh's comments about what was happening in North Korea and Vietnam and China. Rush's point, it was a very thoughtful point that he made. I like think piece points when people make things that are about thinking and stuff. What is this? Okay, thank you. What is going on here? What the heck? Can I please, with technology, you know, I've got this HTC phone and the thing's a disaster. I've talked about this before. It's hard. There's a difference between a company that wants to do a good job and a company that wants to be important. And if your goal is to do a good job, then you're going to be both important and you're going to do a good job. If your goal is to be important, you're probably going to end up being neither. And that goes for being a person also. North Korea. Limbaugh's got a point. North Korea depends on China for almost everything. And so when China makes a suggestion to North Korea, it's not really a suggestion, it's more like a mandate. Now this week, same time that Trump is suspending the plans for tariffs, with China, while Trump is delaying his planned tariff hike, he's also meeting with North Korea about a way to open up trade on the condition that North Korea disarms. All right. What Limbaugh thinks, and it's both probable and plausible. I don't believe there's any evidence for it, but it makes sense. China is whispering in North Korea's ear saying, ask for more, push them, they're weak. They just delayed tariffs. That's not going to work. Now, I know this because having lived in Taiwan for 10 years, I've got an opinion about this. And the Taiwanese, people with Confucian Asian culture, they think that way. By Trump delaying the tariffs, China thinks that they own the universe now. And so they're going to try to provoke, of course, North Korea into getting whatever they want. They're going to think that America is a bunch of pushovers. And Trump handled it the right way. No, it was anticipatable. You could foresee it. You could anticipate the whole thing. Everything, beginning to end, you should be able to see it all coming. There's no reason that this should have surprised anyone. It was likely that China was going to do that. It looks like they probably did. And that's the way to handle it. Go ahead. Let them think that they're going to be big stuff. Go ahead and give them the little amount of polite space that you should, that's reasonable. In Trump's case, delay the tariffs or the tariff hikes. Go ahead. They will then think that they own the known universe, because if you back off an inch, they think that they can push you a mile. They really, because they do that in that culture. They, for them, in their culture, you're indicating weakness. If you back up a little bit, you're being polite, and then the other guy thinks that he's just big stuff now. And it's all immaturity. Go ahead and let them think that. And then when they charge, getting ready to push you that mile because you went back an inch, stand strong as a brick wall and let them smash their head. And that's exactly what happened. China, hey, we'd like you to visit. Nah, I'll see you in Mar-a-Lago. That was the plan. I'm over here to talk to Kim Jong-un. But don't you want to come over here and talk to China? Why? I need to get back to the White House. You know, he didn't say that. But then again, by not, I mean, I don't know if you know this. China invited Trump to visit China on the way back. He's probably flying right over China. I mean, it wouldn't have, it might have been 15, 30 minutes out of the way. And we're talking about maybe a 13, 15 minute or 15 hour flight. So arguably it would make sense for Trump to stop in China. But then again, from Trump's perspective, no, I'm here to talk to Kim Jong-un. We've got business and I'm going home. And by not stopping in China, by not putting it as one item on a travel tour, Trump is saying all kinds of things, including that he means business. So, yeah, I think Rush has an interesting point with that, giving credit where due. The issue is, you know, again, Rush's contribution to this, Rush's idea is that China is whispering in North Korea's ear, and because we delayed our tariff hikes with China, same day, it's the same day that Trump delayed the tariff hikes. Because we did that, China is likely pushing North Korea to ask for more because they think that they can. So, what do we learn from this? I think the more important message here is that Trump just, he didn't sign an agreement. He said no. He stood his ground. And by not having an agreement, that sends a message to China. What North Korea's, you know, motive was, whether that actually is from China, likely or, you know, okay, but it's somewhat beside the point. If China did tell North Korea that, then it didn't pay off for North Korea. If China did say, hey, U.S. is backing down. Hey, you can go ask for, you know, the whole wardrobe and they'll give it to you because they're backing down. Look, see, they're delaying tariffs. See, they need us. See, if China said that to North Korea, it didn't work. And North Korea is quickly learning that America is a better friend. I mean, look, think about this. It's not just the message to China that Trump means business. It's the message to Kim Jong-un. Trump is taking him seriously by going all the way over just to meet with him in Hanoi, the capital of Vietnam. If you didn't know, it's in the north. It's in the north. It's close to the North Korean border. So, you know, Kim Jong-un takes his train down there. And that's important because getting permission to fly an airplane and stuff like that could be a problem because then Kim Jong-un is indebted to people. But, he takes a train ride. And then Hanoi is right there near the north. That's fine. That works. That's great. That's fine. Trump goes down to meet him in Hanoi. It's a neutral ground. That's important. By not stopping in China, Trump is communicating to Kim Jong-un that he is worth a trip. The whole trip is worth it because Trump is willing to go meet with Kim Jong-un. He is not just one item on the agenda. He's not one to-do check item on the errand list. Trump flew all the way over there to meet with Kim Jong-un and then flew all the way back, and it was worth it. Now, I don't know why China would even bother to... I think by China inviting Trump to stop on the way, China is proving... they're proving that they don't understand what's going on. See, Chinese are all about implication, implication. They're all about not saying things directly. But when it comes down to it, they don't really understand implication. They pride themselves on it. They think that implication is the way to talk to people. They think that being direct is wrong and bad and rude and stuff, because they don't know how to apologize. They don't know how to face their flaws without crying like a five-year-old. Like, really, like, this is a problem. So they're indirect all the time because of their emotional hypersensitivity to being direct and stating the truth outright. Like, really, they can't handle it. Emotionally, they can't handle it. But then when it comes to really understanding indirection and implication, you know, indirection, being indirect, when it really comes down to it, the Chinese don't get the indirect insult it was to even invite Trump to China, you know, on his trip to visit Kim Jong-un in Vietnam. Like, I don't know if you know this or not, but, you know, when you're in America, and if you're going to fly to Vietnam, you're basically going to fly in a straight line. It's going to go take you up kind of over Canada, over Alaska. It's going to take you right down over the top of the Koreas, past Japan, along the coast with China. And then you keep going and eventually you end up at the northern part of Vietnam, which is Hanoi. Now, in the winter, it's kind of cold and windy. That's winter. They don't have snow. It's a semi-tropical country. In the south, Saigon, way down in the south, you know, that's a lot warmer, and you're actually talking tropical down there. But up in the north, it's almost tropical. Okay, you know, whatever the weather. I know because I've been there. So flying all the way down there, Trump has to fly pretty much almost right over top of Beijing. So in that whole trip, why, you know, well, I suppose it seems to make sense to ask Trump if he wants to stop by Beijing on the way back. No, it doesn't. Trump needs to show that the whole trip was worth it. Why didn't the Chinese figure that out? Why didn't the Chinese just assume, oh, yes, of course he can't stop by. He's here to see Kim Jong-un, and that's his important business item. Why didn't they do that? Do they not really understand what's going on? Did they know that he would say no, but they thought that it would be polite to make the gesture? I don't know what it is, but China really looked ignorant in asking, no matter how you look at it. So the other thing is China looks kind of desperate, like they're really urgent to meet with him. They're really in a hurry to meet with him. No, that was not the time or the place. That's the correct way to do the power game. It's the way to have proper posture. It's the way to communicate respect to Kim Jong-un, which you have to do. I mean, you know, the leader of North Korea is meeting with the president of the United States. This is a big deal. And as much as Trump's nuke button is bigger than Kim Jong-un's, and as much as Trump's tweet button is bigger than his nuke button, as much as the button on Trump's desk is bigger, he should respect North Korea. I mean, respectable people respect each other. So Trump needs to be giving respect. Does China not get that? Do they not get that? I mean, it's not about, there's nothing here at all about North Korea asking Trump, please don't stop anywhere. There's nothing, that's not how social rapport works. R-A-P-P-O-R, rapport. Like respect with people. That's not how respect works. It's not about, well, Trump doesn't have to do that. Well, there's a lot of stuff we don't have to do. But if Trump goes all the way down there just for one thing and then goes all the way back, that speaks volumes to the fact that he legitimately wants to see North Korea as another country. Trump legitimately wants to have a respectful posture towards everything that's going on. Trump legitimately wants North Korea to know that he wants them to join other countries in the world. And he's going to give them that respectable attention now. So The other thing was there are these massive military drills the United States has that they practice with South Korea every year. The United States practices these large scale military exercises. And Trump said, no, we're not doing that. Now, we'll do tactical stuff. But think about, you know, some military minds were angry about this. Trump's not doing the military drills. Well, he's already making concessions. Trump has said before that those exercises near North Korea, large military exercises, are provocative to North Korea. And there's a point with that. Think about it. North Korea and South Korea are still technically at war. There's an armistice, but they're still at war. So here you've got two powerful nations, your more powerful foe, South Korea, and this big superpower, America, mobilizing these massive numbers of troops right next to your border. Now, they say they're doing it in advance, they're doing it every single year, they've never attacked you during that time, but they could at any moment's notice. They could just, in the middle of that exercise, they could all of a sudden veer right or veer left, and in 5 minutes, boom, they're invading North Korea. That could happen, could. So North Korea would be on high alert. And if Trump is making serious talks, if Kim Jong-un is going to get in his train and ride several days down through China to get to the capital of Vietnam, another country that America had a war with, that we just kind of peacefully weaseled our way into, so to speak, you know, having peace with now. If Kim Jong-un is going to go all the way down there, he's serious also. So there's, you know, Trump has said before, there's a lot of positive respect stuff that's going on behind the scenes away from the attention of the media. So that's what I think about the meeting that, you know, they didn't have an agreement, but what the heck? Who are these people in the media saying that Trump's trip to Vietnam to meet with Kim Jong-un, what's to say that failed just because they didn't sign the final agreement? The mission wasn't to sign an agreement. The mission was to have another round of negotiating that moves towards an agreement. And it did move towards one. So these people that say, well, it failed, it's like, hold on a second. You're in the middle of a construction project. You're in the middle of building a house, let's say, and it's going to take 6 months. Second day on the job, the construction workers go in, pound a bunch of nails together, pour a bunch of concrete, and then go home with the building unfinished, and you call it a failure? That would make no sense whatsoever, and it makes just as much nonsense here. Trump's trip to Vietnam to speak with the great successor, Kim Jong-un, it was a successful meeting, probably because he walked away from a deal that wasn't yet ready to be signed. See you tomorrow.